Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Raider Monday on 95.7 The Game. Here's Joe, Mo, and Dibs.
We're going to play on and stand strong with Joe, Mo, and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball.
You know, no matter the weather, no matter your job, no matter anything that might be going, let's just say not exactly positive in your life, it's the holiday season. You're going to have some time off from work, hopefully. You get to hang out with family, eat well, drink well, and be merry. One of the local sports teams, however, decided they were going to get a head start on this process in the giving season yesterday.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Betty in the shotgun now on second and eight. Quick pass, all picked off inside the 15-yard line by Jimmy Ward.
Let your heart be light.
Kaepernick rolls, throws, complete at the five, and to the end zone, Carlos Hyde, touchdown.
From now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
Throws straight ahead. Touchdown.
From now on, our troubles will be miles away.
Powell shakes one tackle, fights his way to the end zone for the touchdown.
Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us.
Flies as Powell goes left side to the 10, to the 5, touchdown!
And have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
...23-17 is your final in overtime as the Niners were in a particularly giving mood during yesterday's second half at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. What's up, everyone? Joe Fortenbaugh, Dan Dibley, Lorenzo Neal. Thanks for spending some time hanging out with us. Lincoln Kennedy in just a minute, but here comes your update.
Well, make it a dozen, Joe. 12 straight losses for the Niners. They had an 11-point fourth-quarter lead. They lose it in overtime, 23-17. They made a star out of this man.
Powell shakes one tackle, fights his way to the end zone for the touchdown.
Greg Gumbel, the call on CBS. Bilal Powell, Joe, 145 yards and two touchdowns. This one seemed to get away from the Niners after halftime.
That was the starry night of tank jobs in the second half.
Well,
an absolute masterpiece on behalf of Chip Kelly and that coaching staff to preserve the number two overall pick. Because quite frankly, I can't believe a team would look that poor against that opponent in that spot, given how they played in the first half. I can only accept that that was a tank job. Otherwise, horrific, horrific display of football yesterday afternoon.
NBP in the second half, nothing but punts for the 49ers. Story number two, the Warriors with a bounce back in Minnesota. The old guys made it happen.
Dunn, bounce pass up top to Wiggins. Wiggins retreats toward midcourt, working on West. Little shiver move off the dribble jumper, blocked by West. Iguodala's got it on the break. Andre left side, Durant. He glides in and scores with a right hand. The Warriors take the lead, 94-92, and the Wolves want time.
Tim Roy, the call here on 95.7 The Game. Low, I say the, quote, old guys, Livingston, West, Iguodala, all on the floor. The bench mob chipping in for the victory.
I like that new nickname, bench mob. I like it, West. Those young, older guys, they stepped up. Livingston, you need that. Shows a sign of a veteran team stepping up. And also show you these free agents that they brought in, West especially, showing that he wants to show this team that he's ready to insert himself into this backup role. That was a big-time comeback by the bench.
Klay Thompson with 30 to lead the way. The Warriors in New Orleans tomorrow. Story number three is week 14 in the NFL. It concludes tonight with the Patriots taking on the Ravens. Raider fans will be keeping a close eye with the playoff ramifications tied in. That's your update. I'm Dan Dibley on your home for the Golden State Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. Lincoln Kennedy, former Raider great, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Link. How was your weekend with coming off that Thursday night game? Couple days off.
Warming up, man. I'm glad to be living in Arizona rather than in the Midwest like Kansas City. Was cold, Bridget. So good to be back.
Beautiful. Now, a little administrative stuff before we get to some of the, I guess, a more hardcore analysis. But as we look at Mario Edwards and Alden Smith, Alden met with the commissioner on Friday. I mean, that's got to be good news, right? And Mario Edwards, how's he progressing?
Well, from last I heard, you know, the Raiders are really hush-hush with their injury updates and stuff like that, a lot of things. But I heard that it's progressing in the right area. And I think it's also important for the Raiders to pursue, you know, probably one of those first two picks so they can get an extra week bye before they use it. But both of those players, if they're added to the defense, will be beneficial.
Link, you were mentioning the cold in Kansas City. How much did that play into the ineffectiveness of Derek Carr? Is this becoming a trend that he hasn't played well in cold weather?
You would probably know about that statistically better than I do. I never thought about it like that. Look, every football pundit will ever tell you that when it comes to playoff football, if you're able to run the ball in November, December, you can have success. That's why they want balance. That's why you don't need to get too happy with these pass-happy offenses. I remember Peyton Manning didn't always have great games in Denver when it was really cold or outside of it. So it puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and this is just one of those days where Derek Carr didn't complete a lot of his passes, had a number of drops, but the collective effort wasn't there in the passing game, and the Raiders came up short.
Yeah, Link, I agree with you, and I thought Latavius could have been used more. I thought he ran as hard as I've ever seen the guy ran behind his pads, moving the pile. But take a listen to Carr after the game and some of the things he said, and what do we got to look forward moving forward when you think about this?
It was definitely a bad night. Yeah. You know, there's no getting around that. You know, I hate to have the bad night come on this one, right, out of all the games that we've had. But, you know, obviously we didn't do enough. We all took turns. I feel very responsible for that. You know, as the leader of the offense and, you know, the team, you know, I feel sick to my stomach, you know, when we put something like that out there on film. You know, it hurts. I can promise you that. Put too much time into this to go and do something like that.
When you hear a statement like that, Link, you like to hear that from your quarterback, and, you know, looking forward to San Diego. Is this guy you think is on poise, or now you think he's going to have that bounce back type of game?
He's saying all the right things. I mean, are we ready to shoot up the surrender flag? The Raiders are 10-3. They're still in the playoff picture. You mean, you know, they got some work to do. They got to take care of the business. But look, Kansas City's very beatable. And I've always believed there are teams every given year that can be and will be another team's kryptonite, especially in your division. And it might very well be that Kansas City is that one right now for the Raiders. I mean, if they really want to have true success, they got to figure out how to get over the hump. They answered the call initially when it came to Denver. I think Denver's beatable. I know San Diego's beatable. Indianapolis is beatable. Very well, the Raiders can take their last three games, and it's very easy to think that Kansas City will drop a game or two with the similar opponents they got to play, including the Tennessee Titans in between there. So anything could happen, but that's what you expect out of your quarterback. I don't want you to mope. I don't want you to pull a Cam Newton and come dressed like a clown and say all kinds of stupid things. I just want you to go out there and say, look, I had a bad game. I'm looking forward to the next opportunity.
Lincoln Kennedy, the Raider great, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. As you look around the AFC, all the potential playoff matchups that could happen first, second round, which of these teams do you feel could present the most daunting challenge for Oakland, a bad matchup? Would it be Baltimore, Pittsburgh, potentially Houston, even though we saw them defeat them earlier in the season? Who's one of the teams that you'd kind of wish to avoid if possible?
Yes, yes, and no. So Baltimore, Pittsburgh. I don't want to go because I don't want to stand outside in those damn possibly New England. Look, Baltimore's playing well, you know, especially with their defense, and they're starting to figure it out on offense, which makes it dangerous. And the Raiders were fortunate enough to win a close game against them back in Baltimore. I don't think it'll be the same way if they have to go back. Pittsburgh's offense could compete with anyone. So I think and their defense is always notable. New England's out there. I think even Houston at home can be a threat, even though I still don't know how the hell they're winning football games. They just are. So the Raiders, to me, they're better suited for finding a way to get into one of those top two spots, winning the rest of their games and hoping that, you know, somebody up there drops them, which is definitely possible, like I said, and trying to get rested up so they can have full strength when they go into the playoffs.
How much is New England going to be hurt by the absence of Rob Gronkowski? Will we learn that answer tonight, and how did that affect the Raiders' potential matchup with him if they would face him in the postseason?
Well, look, the Raiders have not had success covering the tight end. Big tight ends have had big games against us. Look at the way Kelsey came through with the C-note the other night. So without Gronk, I think it limits a lot of what the Patriots offense does. But we also seen this team – look, this team was able to win four games at the beginning of the season, or three or four games at the beginning of the season, without the starting quarterback. So, you know, it's one of those things where you're talking about that they found a way to win. So this is a resilient team the Patriots are. I got Baltimore beating them tonight because I think Baltimore's hot. But that's not even better for the Raiders because, like I said, you might have to go play Baltimore.
Link, as it pertains to the Dallas Cowboys, we saw Dak Prescott struggle a bit in New York last night against the Giants. No big deal. Cowboys are 11-2, and Prescott's looked good. But if he were to continue to struggle down the stretch, they're going to play Tampa, Detroit, and Philly over the final 3 weeks. If he has a few more hiccups, what do you think the likelihood is that the organization goes back to Tony Romo?
Jerry Jones runs that organization. The likelihood is if they drop another game, they're going to go back to Tony Romo. I don't doubt it. I think they've been waiting for this for quite some time. And I know plenty of Cowboy fans, both are equal side. Some people are loyal to Romo. Some people say Dak Prescott didn't do anything, so don't pull him out. Last night, he struggled. And he struggled most notably because they couldn't get the run game consistently going. So, look, if you're able to take away the run game, which is easier said than done, especially behind that offensive line, then you put a lot of pressure on that young quarterback. He hasn't had to throw very many passes. He's had success, but he hasn't had to throw a whole lot. And last night he was exposed because he was trying to complete things or trying to force things that weren't there. That's youth and inexperience. I don't doubt for a second that if this type of pattern continues, that they'll find a way to get another Tony Romo back in there.
Link, the 49ers lost their 12th consecutive game, and there's word or there's whispers that maybe they're tanking. Have you ever seen a situation where an NFL player has tanked, or is this notion just one that doesn't fit for the National Football League?
I've seen players give up. I've seen players, what we call, like, back the U-Haul truck up to a facility and planning their winter vacation. I've seen that.
Rams.
you know what I mean? So I've seen but tanking, look, is anything far-fetched when you saw what the Philadelphia 76ers have done over the last couple of years to get in the position they have? You know what I mean? So let's not think it's not possible. All I say is that Chip Kelly's a genius, and he should run for office.
Raider great Lincoln Kennedy with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Thank you, Link. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, guys. Be well. Talk to you later.
That's great insight. To be honest with you, he doesn't want to go to Baltimore or Pittsburgh stand on that sideline. I can't say I blame him.
It's good honesty.
Smart. It's smart business. I want to get Houston. Go down there, be in the dome. Smart move.
Very smart. It's cold out there, bro.
Like Lane Kiffin at Florida Atlantic, baby. That's a great hire for Florida Atlantic. He's going to come in there. Do you think that guy's ego will allow him to handle the gravity of the situation that is Florida Atlantic?
No.
They don't need some prima donna coach who thinks he's God's gift to the world with no achievement whatsoever coming into that locker room. They need a humble guy. They need a guy like Matt Rhule, who was at Temple, Justin Fuente, who was at Memphis before jumping up to Virginia Tech. You need one of those young guys who out to prove himself before taking the big job. You don't take the big name cast off that never succeeded, failed everywhere. And don't tell me Alabama was a success because there's a reason he's taking the Florida Atlantic job. Saban doesn't want him back. Mm-hmm. Saban doesn't want him back. LSU doesn't want him as the offensive coordinator either. Think about that for 1 second. If you're LSU and you're Ed Orgeron, the one big problem you've had at LSU for quite some time is you can't play offense. You have a chance to take Alabama's offensive coordinator and look into that playbook, and you pass? Says everything you need to know about Lane Kiffin. Well, we do it every week at this time on Monday, and even though they didn't play yesterday, here it comes.
It's time for
Raiders on the 15.
Raiders on the 15 brought to you by Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows. Loneil, what do you got for me?
I got a guy that every week he just seems to get better and better and better. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He keeps going and going and going. Here's that guy, man down, hand down. Khalil Mack continues his dominance to make that case for the MVP, defensive MVP.
Here's Alex Smith, first and 10, Chiefs on their 24. Alex looks right. Cox, ball got hit from behind. It's a strip sack. The ball's free on the Chiefs 18-yard line.
Raiders got
Khalil
it.
Mack ran the loop again. Lincoln got it from behind and just knocked the ball away. It is free, and the Raiders have taken over again.
Dips.
I turn my attention to Latavius Murray, Joe, who for the fifth time in his career went over 100 yards. His effort on the ground has led him to be the featured back now for Oakland. No longer is there talk of a committee. Latavius Murray is the bell cow who can lead this team into the postseason.
Raider Mondays brought to you by Antioch Toyota. Go to AntiochToyota.com today, as well as the Oaks Card Club. Here is the AFC standings as of the current moment. New England 1, Kansas City 2, Pittsburgh 3 with Baltimore playing tonight and a chance to grab that spot back should they win. So it's Patriots, Chiefs, Steelers, Texans, Raiders, Broncos. At the moment, that would mean the Raiders on opening weekend in Houston to face the Texans. Patriots and Chiefs get the bye. That would mean you win that game. And Denver goes to Pittsburgh and plays the Steelers. Let's say the Steelers win that game. You're going to New England the following week. Or Steelers don't win that game. You're going to Kansas City the following week. Number one, would we all agree that if the Raiders grab the wild card, the best possible position to be in would be to take on the winner of the AFC South?
Yes. Yeah, and you would get that five spot. If you finish up 11-5 and you're the top wild card, then you would play the worst of the division winners. That is the greatest spot. However, you don't want to be in a situation where you have to go to New England or to Kansas City. Lo, which of those destinations do you think would be worse for the Raiders in the postseason if they had to play that divisional round game?
I'd rather go to Kansas City, Coach. Let me tell you where I'd rather go to Kansas City instead of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh can do one thing. You know they can score a lot of points. And you go to Pittsburgh and you go there, the weather's bad, it's hard. If you start slow, you can't. Joe, you alluded to the other day, you're 19 yards away. As bad as Carr played, as bad as this team played, you're 19 yards away from having a chance to tie that thing and go in overtime. You played horrible. Your guys couldn't catch a ball. They couldn't catch a cold. They played bad. Your star quarterback, open the MVP, played bad. Let me go into Kansas City. I would like the third time's a charm. I don't want to go to Pittsburgh. I don't want to see Big Ben.
Well, hold on. It'd be Kansas City or New England.
New England would be the other option.
So still Kansas City?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just saying, out of those, I'd rather go to Kansas City. I'd rather go to a team that doesn't score a lot of points. I'd rather go to a team that I still believe that I can run the ball against. That's the Kansas City.
Even though
teams.
They have your number and they've given it to you twice.
They don't have my number.
Nobody's got your number. It's a block number.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't do anything with O'Neal's number.
Either phone. I mean, they came here and they took your lunch money, and then you traveled to Kansas City and they stuffed your nose in.
I don't know if they stuffed it. In Kansas City, it really wasn't that bad. You look at that game, quarterback played bad, receivers couldn't catch Cole, didn't play with your best offensive line.
Chiefs should have won that by 24 points.
Absolutely.
And they didn't. Yeah. They had everything there. You had everything you could ask for to dial up a huge win, and you couldn't do it. 19 yards away, the Raiders were for tying that game. That's Andy Reid, baby. That's what he does in the playoffs. This is a guy who blew a challenge in a timeout early in that game. Horrible fourth down decision. Why? Well, we didn't want to send Cairo Santos out for a 45-yarder because it's cold. What do you think it's going to be in January at Arrowhead? You're
colder.
Just not going to kick field goals, Andy Reid? That's your new plan? Good luck with that.
Yeah.
That's a great plan.
And that's an interesting wrinkle that you bring up, Joe, to this argument is Andy Reid versus Bill Belichick. I'm sure you'd much rather face. Is it close?
Are you kidding me?
Is it close?
The final score might be close because Kansas City's got talent that at times will overcome its coaching. But if you throw Belichick in there against Andy Reid, we've seen that before.
Yeah.
We saw it in the Super Bowl. McNabb was puking all over the field. Bad decision making. T.O. came back, had a huge game, but you couldn't get him the ball. Freddie Mitchell talked all that junk. He caught one more pass than I did in that game. He was great. He was great. They weren't prepared well. They knew exactly. New England knew what was coming. They picked McNabb off in the end zone. You're never going to have a guy like Andy Reid outcoach a guy like Bill Belichick. That's the problem. You can give him the best possible team, but you're telling me Alex Smith and Andy Reid versus Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? I don't care what the rest of the rosters look like. That's the decision. But this Baltimore-Pittsburgh scenario has got to be worrisome to anyone. They're not built to win 13 games necessarily. They're built for January and February.
Sure.
Those are the quarterbacks they have. Those are the head coaches and teams they've constructed.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. You look at Baltimore and Pittsburgh, when playoffs starts, these two teams, they find a way to win. They've been battle-tested, like you alluded to, Joe and Dibs. They know what to do. They know how to turn that switch. When playoffs starts, it happens. And I believe that this Raider team has that switch. I believe this Raider team is going to continue to get better. I like their chances. I don't want them playing back there. I'd rather, right, like I said, play against Kansas City, a team that you know who they are, Kansas City. So Baltimore and Pittsburgh, those two teams get hot, anything can happen.
That's why having the Raiders get the number two seed is so, so important, Joe, because of the possible destinations. If you have to go to Houston, fine. That's in a dome, and it's a team you've already beaten. But then your winter scenarios in January would pop up. Derek Carr has shown that he performs better in warmer weather. So if you had that bye, and then you had that home game, even if you had to go to New England for what would be the AFC Championship game, then it's 60 minutes, and you just take your chances.
That's why Week 17 against Denver, no matter the scenario, is so important.
Huge.
No matter the scenario. You might be locked into that five spot. Don't rest anybody. Make sure your quarterback's playing. Make sure your wide receivers are playing. Hope for cold weather. Hope for inclement weather. Hope for wind. You got a quarterback. Admittedly, it's a small sample size. 0-3 when it drops before 40 degrees. When it's below 40 degrees, he's 0-3 in the NFL, and the numbers aren't good. One of those games was at Kansas City last year. What about the wide receivers and how they looked in Kansas City? Crabtree looked uncomfortable. Cooper looked uncomfortable. Seth Roberts, every time he was targeted, could not catch the football. It's a bad game, yeah. But that team did not look comfortable in cold weather. They've had bad games before. Atlanta, early in the season, but they put up some points and moved the football. Kansas City, earlier in the year, that was in the rain. Similar scenario, but with the Chiefs off the bye, I'm not going to read too far into it. Even when this team struggles, they're going to score points and move the ball. They just have some lapses, all right? That scenario, nothing looked good. And you can chalk it up to anything you want. That cold weather, everyone looked very comfortable. Or uncomfortable. That Week 17 game, go down there just to get the experience in the cold weather.
You know what I do too, Joe, if it's playoffs, not particularly for Denver, but if it's the playoffs and I have to go travel to a cold place, I'm getting there 2 days early. And I'm going to make sure I have that Friday practice is going to be there, and it's going to be outside.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make sure, and that's what I thought they were doing. You got to get these guys acclimated to that weather, because you can put all the oil and all that crap on.
Yeah,
you
we
want.
Covered this.
Vaseline.
Yeah. You can Vaseline and lube up real nice.
Bill came on Friday and told us one bottle for the body, one bottle for the jersey.
He lubed it up nice. But I get them there, though, Joe, to get them accustomed to the weather and let them say, look, we're going to go out here and we're going to practice and make sure we practice outside. So guys get their bodies kind of used to it.
Yeah.
I push them.
You're Mr. Primetime. The people want to know. It's drive time right now. So
if
you feel like floating it out, if not, no big deal.
Yeah.
The Patriots are a 6-point favorite tonight for this Monday night showdown at home against Flacco and the Ravens. Your over-under is 45 points.
Yeah.
So, 6.5, Patriots favorite, 45 is your over-under. Do you have any leans? Even if it's just straight up without the spread.
I really do, man. I like Baltimore. Baltimore's got hot at the right time. You look at Baltimore, who they're chasing. Pittsburgh Steelers. They understand, you guys already talked about how the AFC, how tight it really is. A wild card team, one of those teams may not get in. So it's going to come down to who wins that division. Baltimore's streaking right now. They've got their pass rushers back. They're running the ball. And Joey Flacco, Joe, is starting to throw the ball down the field. Got guys getting open. They're playing a lot better offense. I like them straight up, Dibs.
Man, and the Patriots, 6-0 on the road this year, only 4-2 at home. And the trends look to be pretty close. Baltimore's won a couple in a row, and the first game without Gronk, his security blanket, might be tougher, Tommy.
They hate each other. These two teams hate each other.
Love the Ravens plus the points. Can't believe. This opened as a touchdown. It's moved down.
It
the
has
money's
moved down.
On Baltimore. I can't believe they throw it out there as a TD. Coach, this Ravens team, they've gone in to Foxborough and won in the playoffs. They've won in the regular season.
Sure.
They always give Belichick fits. Look at Brady's career QB rating against everyone, then look at it against Baltimore. This team's got his number. This is going to be a great game tonight.
Sure.
Three good primetime games. Raiders had a chance to tie Thursday night. 10-7 last night.
Yeah.
Division rivals, Giants and Cowboys. And now tonight, you get this.
Primetime football is back, baby.
Oh, my.
Don't throw dirt on primetime football just yet.
I tell you what, though, this is Cleveland's biggest problem. You want to understand why they haven't been able to compete. Flacco, Roethlisberger, what do those two have in common? One played at Miami, Ohio. One played at Delaware. Big, physical,
weather.
Cold weather quarterbacks. You've got to understand your stadium, indoors, outdoors. You got to understand your track, artificial turf or grass. You got to understand your weather. You don't draft Robert Griffin III and Colt McCoy and Johnny Manziel to come in and play, Brandon Whedon, to come in and play quarterback for an AFC North team. That should have been the Carson Wentz pick. Kid from North Dakota.
I like it.
Big, physical. That's what you got to do. Yeah. Understand your surroundings, not just your personnel. Vinny Serrato, former Redskin general manager, former Niner personnel man, joined us this morning, and he had some wild thoughts on how the Niners need to proceed. We're going to share those with you next. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
The saintly one, Gary St. Jean, recaps the Warriors and T-Wolves coming up at 8:45. Now, back to Raider Mondays. Here's Jolo and Dibs.
James Taylor, tickets at AT&T Park next summer to give away in about 13 minutes. What's up? Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Thanks for spending some of your time with us today. Even in the wake of yesterday's 23-17 defeat down in Santa Clara, I'd like to say this team's finding new and inventive ways to lose, but we've seen this blueprint before. Come out looking smooth in the first half, and then do the exact opposite in the second half.
I said these Niner losses are like snowflakes, Joe. Each one is unique and individual and beautiful in its own way, but also cold and wet to the core.
Sell yesterday's as a tank. Because quite honestly, if you're going to sell that as competitive football, some changes need to be made. And speaking of that, former Redskin general manager and Niner personnel man, Vinny Serrato, joined us earlier this morning. And there's a lot going on in the NFL right now because Jason LaCanfora of CBS had a very interesting report on the 49ers yesterday morning. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Here's Serrato with his thoughts on what's going to happen to general manager Trent Baalke.
To me, it's foregone conclusion. Trent's got to go. You know, I mean, somebody, you lose that many games, not everybody can't stay. You know, you can't do that. And the offense is pathetic. I don't know how they don't totally clean house. It would be shocking. I mean, especially after that game yesterday. You get, you're up right away on the Jets, who basically shut it down, and they're traveling all the way across the country, and they were looking for a reason to quit. And the Niners let him stay in it and come back and win it.
Okay, not exactly a surprise to hear a former personnel man weigh in with the thoughts that Baalke should be gone. That's an opinion a lot of people share. But some feel, just 1 year into a four-year contract with the team, that maybe Chip Kelly deserves another chance. Here's Serrato with his thoughts on what the team should do regarding Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly got to go, though. I mean, his offense hadn't worked in Philly, hadn't worked in San Fran. You know, it's not ever – all they're doing is just delaying. You know, if they're going to keep him this year, they're just delaying it for another year, what's going to really happen.
Wow. So, if both are going to go, who would be a possible solution to come in and get this team back on the right tracks? Here's Serrato.
No, I wouldn't be totally shocked at all. I mean, Mike's got familiarity, you know, with the Niners, won a Super Bowl there. And I think as a GM, if Mike's a GM, I would expect Kyle – his son, who's the offensive coordinator in Atlanta, to be the head coach. That's what I could see happening. And to me, it probably wouldn't be a bad combination. You know, to bring in a guy like Mike, it'd probably be good for Jed York, and I think it would give them some credibility.
Mike, in this quote, if you haven't figured it out already, is Mike Shanahan, formerly of the Washington Redskins, Denver Broncos, and many other teams. And that leads into the report from Jason LaCanfora Sunday morning of CBS, saying that not only could big change be coming, not only could Dr. John York and Denise York, Jed's parents, be taking a more hands-on approach with the club moving forward, but considering all that, they might be reaching out to Mike Shanahan to either A, coach the team, or B, take a front office role where he could bring in his son Kyle, current OC, there it is, OC, in Atlanta to take his first head coaching job. Of all these scenarios, Baalke gone, Chip gone, Shanahan in, do you follow that timeline? Do you think that's how this is going to play out?
I think it probably should, but will it go that way? Probably not, Joe. Here's what we know about Trent Baalke, and here's what we know about Chip Kelly. We know Chip Kelly's offense could be explosive at times, but we also know that it could be a lot of three and outs, and we also know that what happens, it puts a lot of pressure on the defense. Defense usually play another game. So we know those things. Those have become unmutable. Those are unchangeable. Now, what do we know about Mike Shanahan? We know that he builds tough, physical teams, and he goes out and get personnel. So he knows how to build teams through the draft, through free agency. So we know those are something that the whole league likes to do. That is something that you, if one thing you get, if you get a Shanahan, you're getting something that the whole league is trying to accomplish, and Shanahan knows it. So you have an unproven deal in Chip Kelly. You have a proven commodity in Shanahan. So now it's going to be up to the Yorks. But are you willing to eat? You're already playing to Jimmy T, and now you got another $18 million. So is this team and this organization willing to eat that type of money? That's the multi-million dollar company. That's the multi-million dollar question. It ain't about can Shanahan coach or can he put the right personnel. Hell yeah, we know he can do that.
Joe, is a four-year deal or a three-year contract, is it a condiment or is it a side when you have to choke that baby down? Or is it a seven-course meal? You're already eating Tom Sula, which is like, you know, chicken and waffles. And if you got to eat Chip Kelly's 3 years, that's like pasta, salad, soup, and dessert.
That's why it's tough to buy into this. You want to know why? Why didn't you let him go to Oregon, tell him in advance, and negotiate a buyout?
Right.
If this was going to happen, why eat the $18 million remaining on that deal?
I agree.
Where all you needed to do was go to him in private and say, look, it's not working out. Honestly, we'd like to give you another shot here, but quite frankly, we've got to change this entire thing. We're sorry for bringing you in. We're sorry for wasting a year of your life. I don't even care if you say that, quite frankly. But just lay it out. You're going to be gone. Now, we know Oregon's open. You might want that gig. We're not 100% sure. Why don't you go talk with them, figure out what you can do, and then maybe negotiate a buyout. Now, Chip could always sit back and go, no, I'll just take my $18 million and I'll wait till the end of the season. But by that point, the Oregon job is gone. Oregon can't wait 2 months. They've got to get back to recruiting. All right.
Right.
So that basically would have been a scenario. Let's negotiate a buyout. You can go take your $9-10 million from Phil Knight and go back to Oregon. We can get out of this without paying $18 million and we can move on because the rest of the season's already lost.
It's already completely lost. And you look at the offseason and you've had Trent Baalke out there scouting players. And now you've got guys being signed for next year. And you're not even sure if there's going to be a new GM, a new coach who will or won't want Vance McDonald in his contract as it's composed. The whole thing, it makes perfect sense, though, when you look at the way the organization's been run. And now there's reports that maybe John and Denise are going to come back to town and help Jed. That's a nightmare for 49er fans, because if you remember the first time before Jed took the ownership or took control of the team, rather, it was a mess. It was a disaster. So to think that these two are going to come back in and fix it, it's just insanity repeating itself.
Why would you allow the front office to go out and give Vance McDonald $35 million? I believe it's $16 million guaranteed, more than Gronkowski. Why would you allow them to do that if they're not going to be back next year? There's three or four more deals in the works. It's not just McDonald. This front office is getting ready to sign other players to extensions. So if they're not going to be back, why would you allow them to make all these decisions?
I think one of it, the reasons is, you know, we had Matt on, and I kind of agree with some of his thought process. You can't cut everybody on the damn team.
Right.
You got to keep some guys. And so you look at these guys, you say, where's Vance at? You go out there, you talk to scouts, not just scouts, but front office people, and find out where he's at in this whole process. Or is he a top 10, top 15 tight end, wherever he might be? And they say, okay, here's a guy that we want to be, we want to keep him a part of our fold. We want him to be a 49ers. You sign him. You'll sign a couple other dudes. I remember being into San Diego, and we signed freaking Sean Phillips. We kept the linebacker. We kept about four or five of the guys and gave them long-term deals just because we could, because they wanted to make sure later on they don't have to get the big deal. So I think that some teams, Joe, they just do that. It may not be the best thing to do if they're not going to be the new head coach, but some teams just do it.
Yeah, but this Vance McDonald deal. Like, I know Mayoko came on and said, well, you know, you got to give money to somebody, so wait till after the season. Why not let the new regime figure out who they want to pay? There's a reason you have some sliver of hope in the future. It's because you're going to have high draft picks and you're going to have lots of money to spend. Well, if you spend all the money and the new guy comes in and he doesn't have 50 plus million in salary cap space, what's the point? Don't handicap him. He might not want Vance McDonald. Vance McDonald might not fit the new guy's system.
Matt Maiocco made a good point, though, in saying that this is a decision that came from Parag Marate, the contracts guy. And even though it may feel like it should be a talent evaluation decision. This ultimately was a decision based on what Parag Marate and company thought was a value move to sign the contract now. And so one thing going forward, whether it's Shanahan and his son running things or if it's Balky and Chip or some other combination, Parag Marate is still going to be there.
And that's the problem. Because you got a salary guy making personnel decisions or working in hand with a personnel guy who won't be here next year. You've got to get everyone on the same page. At the very least, if it's Mike Shanahan in the front office and Kyle Shanahan is the head coach, guess what? Those two are invested in each other's future. Hey, progress. The Saintly One and tickets are up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Raiders punter Marquette King joins us coming up at 9:30. Now back to Raider Mondays. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
Derek Carr is going to join JT the Brick at 10:45. Mark it down. And Raiders head coach Jack Del Rio with Damon Bruce at 3 p.m. What's up, Joe, Lowe, and Dibs? 95.7 The Game. Gary St. Jean coming up here in just a moment, but we got some tickets to give away. And that will be to see James Taylor and Bonnie Raitt at AT&T Park on Saturday, July 29th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com and APEconcerts.com. Today we're going to go to the phones, and you're going to have to answer a trivia question. The number, 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. The question: how many career 100-yard rushing games does Latavius Murray have? If you've been listening to Dibs, he's been mentioning this throughout his updates all morning long. 888-957-9570. How many times has Latavius Murray gone over 100 yards in his career?
Okay. Let's get it done.
Okay. Marquette King at 9:30. Text line wants us to ask him about Kim Kardashian. I think we're going to have to. It's a rumor that's floating around out there.
Yeah. Shout out to Oakland, California.
Kang about that and more at 9:30. But now we go to the phones. The Saintly One, Gary St. Jean, joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Saint. How are you?
Hello there, fellas. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you as well. You know, the Warriors now 111 consecutive regular season games without suffering back-to-back defeats. On a road trip like this, where you've got 5 games in 7 days and you had that, let's just say, poor performance a few nights ago, to bounce back in Minnesota, how tough is that?
Well, physically, it's really tough on you, but mentally, they stood strong. They didn't play well for 3 quarters defensively, ratcheted up in the 4th quarter, really got things going, and got a win going away. And, you know, it just speaks to the toughness of these guys. They love a challenge, and you put them with their back to the wall, they're going to rise to the occasion. That's a tough building to play in, as you guys noted. 4 and 5 nights, they're not done yet. They'll practice and fly to New Orleans today, play tomorrow, and you know, I was really impressed with the lineup at the end of the game. You know, Steve Kerr, there's a lot of analytics out there. You what's your best five and all that kind of thing. He went a little unconventional and had both Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala, you know, out there with Durant and Curry and Thompson. So, you know what? It was a great win.
And he was able to go with David West late in that game, too, in the big man spot. Are we still going to see
yeah,
this?
You know what? I stand corrected, Dibs. West was out there instead of Curry. You're absolutely
yeah,
right.
Yeah, they had Curry and Draymond on the bench, and Steve Kerr never flinched, never went back to his, quote, super death lineup. Does that send a message to those guys that any man can do it and it's the next man up mentality?
Well, you know what? I don't know that West will be out there with regularity, but I think he's got like 7 guys that he's going to put out there, and he can go in either direction. So we're adding Livingston and obviously Iguodala to that mix. So, you know, there's versatility. There's a lot of length. There's veteran players that really defend and understand how to get the ball moving, and it's an awful tough lineup to compete against.
Stanley, I couldn't agree with you more. When you talk about the analytics and guys talk about them and all these different numbers and the metrics and saber matrix and all these things they do, why don't they just call it sophisticated scouting? Isn't it still a scouting report when you look at it? Bottom line, Stanley, they're running the ball 30% here. This is their tendencies. Why all the names? I mean, what's going on, Stanley?
Hey, Joe, Dibs, you guys got low wound up now. I see. I love this. He's old school, just strong as new rope. I love it. And I'm going to tell you guys, that's exactly what it is. And I call this coaching by the seat of your pants. You go with feel. It's in your gut. You understand what's going to – you have a good feeling as to what's going to work for you. And that's why I love Steve Kerr. I think he's terrific. I've got him in my top three coaches in the league, and he's great.
Our interview with Gary St. Jean brought to you by your Northern California Acura dealers. Who are your other top coaches?
Well, obviously, Pop, I think, is number one. And then I've got a little bit of debate. I've got Tibbs, who coached last night for Minnesota. I've got Brad Stevens in Boston. Those would be my four. And I don't know why this early in the morning I can come up with my fifth. I love Spoelstra in Miami. Those guys do a great job. And, that's a big key. Lowell will tell you, when you really got a coaching staff that connects with their players, that they really can communicate and they've got a trust and respect for each other, it makes the job a lot easier.
What about LeBron in Cleveland? He's done a nice job coaching that team.
You guys are tough.
The saintly one, Gary. Gary St. Jean.
I got to tell you guys something now. You guys are giving these tickets for James Taylor. Now, listen, he's in Western Massachusetts in what we call the Berkshires, on the border of Massachusetts, Connecticut, and New York. And he lives on a lake there. My sister lives not too far from him. And he's the man. I love him. Every year he does Fenway Park. And at 4th of July, he plays a big concert up at Tanglewood in the Berkshires. Nobody better than James Taylor.
Well, say it. We already have the Hamptons five. Between you and James Taylor, if you find three more, maybe we can have the Berkshires five.
Hey, that Hampton stuff, that's too big time. These guys don't want to be considered as the big money guys. They're just great players. I don't know if I like that nickname. What do you guys think?
I just think it's cool. It sounds like a good band. Like, it fits the situation.
Yeah, that's true.
I never looked at it as an insult, but I do see what you're saying, how being associated with – Lowe used to live out in the Hamptons when he played for the Jets.
No way.
I was out in Baiting Hollow. I was a little farther than I wasn't Hamptons. I was in a little different area code, but I was close to it now. It's a beautiful place out that area.
Hey, he lived next door to Billy Joel.
Team Tanglewood, Saint, it's fantastic.
Saint, tell us something. Saint, Papa always get to see you. Everyone gets to see you. When are you gonna come in studio and hang out with us and we'll talk a little basketball and hang out, talk even a little football as well?
Hey, listen, I got a big game tonight, Lowell. My Pats are playing Baltimore. That means tomorrow. The old man, he needs good sleep in the morning. I don't know if I get up as early as you guys, but you guys know I'm always available to talk ball with you guys.
Well, give us a couple keys to that game tonight. I know you're talking about, I know you love the Patriots, I know you're a New England guy, but Baltimore's been pretty streaking right now. How's that game going to turn out tonight? You guys don't have Gronkowski, the tight end that you like, tight end position, St. Lee.
Hey, I got to tell you, Flacco and his boys, his defense, but he does a great job against the Pats, and he's starting to get some deep ball threats. He's got a great defense. They have they're not overwhelmed by the Patriots. Patriots have switched it up now. They're going more to Edelman. They're bringing White out of the backfield. They got Lewis back. I really like him. So those are those third down receivers. And you know what? Somehow Tom Brady and Blount will rise to the occasion. I am concerned a little bit about the Pats' defense, and that's my 30-second summary on the NFL Monday night game of the week.
Gary St. Jean here breaking it all down.
That is great information.
Saint,
I love that information.
Saints AFC Lock of the Year, I believe, here on 95.7 The Game. Yesterday at halftime, Draymond interviewed Roz was, how do you say, a little bit critical of his teammates. Was he right, firstly, and secondly, is that the best approach for Draymond to take some shots at his teammates at a halftime interview?
Dibs, I don't know if he knows how to do it any other way.
True.
Poor Roz, she didn't know what hit her. She gave him a nice lead-in question, and he went, bada-boom, bada-boom, bada-boom. And my man, Pop, he was roaring. He was going crazy watching that thing. And he's telling, we got to get that on in the post game. We got to get that on. And then, obviously they rose up. But he had a heck of a game. But that guy, if you're coaching, when he starts talking about defense and winning championships, when you're a coach, most guys are thinking about how many shots I made and, what I did otherwise to help the game. That guy puts it in a nutshell. And every night he brings – that defense, and I say this, he plays on the edge, but Lowell tell you to compete like that is a learned skill.
Yeah.
And he does it as well as anybody else in the NBA.
He plays hard for all 82 without a doubt, but is there a fear that maybe his message doesn't get received because guys are a little worn out from his approach?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I told you guys the story about Nelly with the six bullets in the chamber.
Yeah.
And you can only fire six. After that, they stop listening to you. They stop firing. So they tune you out. And you don't want that to happen. So you got to pick and choose your spots.
He's the founding member of the Berkshire Five, Gary St. Jean, with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, you guys, wait a minute. There's you three. There's me and James Taylor. How the hell is anybody going to beat us five?
Not a chance.
I like it.
As long as James Taylor can defensive rebound.
Hey, I'm letting Lowe sit all the picks.
Thank you, Saint. We'll catch up with you next week.
Happy Monday, guys.
The saintly one.
The saintly one.
Love
all
them.
Warrior guests, they always sound better if you're wearing JBL headphones, the official sound of the Golden State Warriors and 95.7 The Game. Congratulations to Kurt in Pleasanton. The answer to the trivia question. How many career 100-yard rushing games does Latavius Murray have? Dibs, the answer?
It's five, and I've been mentioning it at Raiders on the 15 every day. He just went over 100 yards last game for his fifth career time.
Speaking of Raider Mondays, brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. Drive a little, save a lot. And Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows. Marquette King is going to join us at 9:30. Russell Westbrook's triple-double streak ended last night at 7. It's an insane number of triple-doubles,
yes.
But is it really helping the club? Does it really help that he tries to grab every conceivable rebound in order to stuff the stat sheet? Because this team's struggling to beat Phoenix. They're struggling to beat the Milwaukees of the world. Like, you know, Golden State, man, Durant leaves. Work smarter, not harder. Westbrook looks like he's working his ass off results that aren't nearly as expected.
But if he doesn't do that, low, are they going to have more wins, less wins, the same wins? That's a team that's not very good. He might be doing too much, but he's doing all he can to help him win.
He's doing a lot to help him win, but I think you got Cantor, you got some other guys that probably disagree. I think when you have a team like that, sometimes, like Joe said, you got to work smarter. And he's got to work hard to keep his team in games. But at times, other guys can step up and carry some of the load.
Ooh. I'm thinking about opening up the phones.
Do it.
I'm thinking about opening them up.
Do it.
Number one, Niner fans, you want Mike Shanahan in the mix? Will things get better? Would you want him as the front office guy with his son Kyle as the head coach? I'll tell you what, if he doesn't land in San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan's getting a head coaching job. He's got the pedigree, he's got the resume, and he has turned the Atlanta offense around. Matt Ryan's playing some of his best football in years. When has Matt Ryan ever been rumored as an MVP candidate? Probably not going to get it. I'd lean the Stafford over him just in terms of the NFC right now, but that's Kyle's work. That might be the type of guy you want developing, a rookie quarterback. Remember, if you're going to end up drafting a quarterback, you want good, solid, respectable offensive minds around him. So Niner fans, the Shanahan family, yay or nay. Raider fans, who do you want to avoid? Who do you want on the upcoming playoff schedule? You got three games left. San Diego, Indianapolis, and Denver. What's the biggest concern? It's Joe, it's Lowe, it's Dibs, and we're back in 1 minute. On 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.